This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
All righty, you can be seated. Thank you, worship team. We're going to dive right into the Word. That's my passion, is teaching, preaching, ministering the Word of God. When I came, I really wanted to deliver these two messages. When I did this series, I did three messages on it. This morning, I gave you the introduction of that, and really, this is the application. And I'm just big on you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we got to have more than a goosebump and a feel good. We got to get some word. We got to get some truth, because that's what God confirms with signs following. And I was praying over these services, and that's the reason why I just prayed it while ago. I said, Lord, I want you to confirm your word with signs following. And he asked me, well, what does that look like to you? And I said, well, God, that'd be just nice if you'd show up in the altar and we'd just do some great things, because I've seen God do some amazing things in my life. I've seen blind eyes pop open. I've seen some crazy stuff. And I'd love to see that tonight. And God says, well, I intend for the accompanying signs to show up on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday. It's not just for church. Come on, God wants to confirm his word with signs following, not just for church, but they're for you when you go home. Come on, they're for you tomorrow morning. Come on, in the workplace. Anybody need God to show up in the workplace? So I just declare in this house that God's going to be confirming his word, not just in church. He's going to do it in church, but he's going to do it when you go home. He's going to do it tomorrow in the workplace. Come on, all week long. All month long, all year long. Come on, 2018 is your year. Somebody shout, I'm growing in favor. Come on, that's what this year is all about. How many of you were here this morning? Most all of you? Good, most all of you. Hopefully you were. I don't know how much review we're going to get into, but we're talking about expecting God's favor in our mess. We told you this morning that a mess can just be defined by the dictionary, is a situation that's full of difficulties, which means we all have those. Sometimes they're in one area. So the certain areas of your life can be going great, but then other areas of your life, not so great. You can have difficulties. Well, life is full of difficulties, and here's what we talked about this morning, is regardless the cause of the mess, you need to know and understand that God does his greatest work in the midst of your mess. So true. That the Bible's full of stories where God showed up and did the greatest work in the midst of people's mess. So in that pain, in that brokenness, in the disappointment, that's where God shows up. In the regrets, in the addictions, in the impossibility, in the despair, God shows up in those moments. I've just come back here tonight again to remind you that there is a miracle in your mess. And that's really what we're talking about. There's a miracle in your mess. Now, this morning we looked at how God got involved in Nebuchadnezzar's life. He had an ugly mess. And tonight we're going to dive into that just a little bit more. But I do want to lay a little groundwork, do a little bit of review. And we're going to go deeper into that story, because there's some principles and some things that King Nebuchadnezzar did that caused his stump to begin to grow again. And I want to share them with you, because this is the application. This morning we talked about God's part, and tonight we're going to talk about our part. And my intention is not to keep you here long. We're going to do it quick and get you home so you can get some beauty sleep. Some of you need some beauty sleep tonight. In Daniel chapter 4, again, this is King Nebuchadnezzar. He was king of Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. Today, and he was a very successful king. He was at that time when he ruled actually the whole known world. He basically controlled everything. His problem was is that he did not acknowledge God. He was full of pride and full of arrogance. He was just so caught up in his success that he just didn't take time for God. And so God shows up and with a dream. And warns him that if he doesn't begin to acknowledge God in his life, that his life's going to end in a mess. And so in Daniel chapter 4, let's read this again. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity, But one night I had a dream that frightened me, and I saw visions that terrified me as I laid in my bed. How many of you know it's good to read the word over and over? We read this for the first time, but most of you have never read this story in your life. Now listen, now he's going to talk about the dream he had. He says, while I was lying in my bed, this is what I dreamed. I saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. The tree grew very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves, and it was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branches. All the world was fed from this tree. Then as I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. The messenger shouted, cut down the tree and lop off its branches, shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit, chase the wild animals from its shade and the birds from its branches. Now notice, but leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Now let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, him. So we go from a tree to a person. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the wild animals among the plants of the field. So King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he's absolutely terrified by this dream. He wakes up, and he looks amongst his kingdom to try to find somebody to interpret the dream. He finally finds Daniel, a young godly man. And Daniel is an interpreter of dreams, and God uses him to interpret this dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. Thus, we have the book of Daniel. I'd encourage you to read that book. Now, Daniel comes to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he interprets the dream, and he says to Nebuchadnezzar that this tree is not your enemies, because actually Nebuchadnezzar was hoping and wishing that this dream was concerning his enemies. But Daniel said, no, this dream is about you. God is showing you. You've become that like the flourishing tree. You're successful and you're prosperous and you feed the whole known world. And then in the second part of that dream, Daniel says, but if you don't acknowledge God, if you don't repent, that your tree is going to be cut down. And if you don't begin to get right with God, that you're going to be reduced to a stump. You're going to go from being king over Babylon to going insane, living like an animal in a field. And 1 year later, that's exactly what took place. He didn't repent. We talked about all this morning. But again, I want to just read the text again. Notice what happens. 12 months later, Daniel 4:29, after he does not listen to the interpretation, he doesn't heed the caution to repent. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon, and he looked out across the city, and he said, look at the great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, notice he's still not acknowledging God, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. And while these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of the kingdom. You'll be driven from human society, and you'll live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. This really happened. And for 7 years, he lives like a wild animal. He's naked. The Bible says his hair grows like feathers. His fingernails grow like the claws of an eagle. He is reduced to a stump, just like the dream. He is in a mess. He goes from being the greatest, most powerful king in the world, and his life is reduced to a dead, messy stump. And he's out there in the fields eating like a cow, eating grass like a cow. And again, I want you to remind you of what we talked about this morning, the promise in the story in Daniel 4:15. But God said to King Nebuchadnezzar, he says, but leave the stump, tie it up. And we talked about that this morning, that God will always demand that something remains of what you used to be. Because God knows there's a time coming that you're going to acknowledge him. And when you acknowledge him, what God is going to do, he's going to take what is left, the dead old stump. He's going to take what is left of your life, and he's going to make it great again. He's going to make something beautiful out of it again. And we talked about that this morning, that God is the God of what you have not lost, but God is the God of what you have left. How many of you remember that? You still got that going? Now, this is exactly what happens after 7 years. He gets tired of eating grass. And he begins to go Godward, and he acknowledges God. And in Daniel 4:34, notice what it says here. At the end of that time, 7 years, he didn't have to wait 7 years. He could have waited a week. He could have waited a day. I don't know what took him so long. Man, if I'm eating grass like a cow, I'm repenting the next day. Come on, somebody. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. Notice this. At that time, my sanity returned to me, and I was restored to the honor of my kingdom, and my splendor returned to me. And notice, this is the promise. I became greater than before. I became greater than, now we talked about this all this morning. We set this all up. This is just making a reference, a point of review so we can move forward. But this is absolutely amazing. Nebuchadnezzar, he repents here. He gets saved. He acknowledges God, and God takes his mess. God takes his old, he used to be a beautiful tree, but he's been reduced to a stump. He's got a mess in his life. But he goes Godward, and God takes the mess in his life, takes this old stump, this old dead stump, and God makes his life even greater than it was before. It was already a great life, and God still made it greater than it was before. And he was the one that caused his mess. Come on, that's some good news for some of you that didn't even cause your mess. But for us that are good at causing our own messes, we thank God for this story in the Bible. Can I get a witness? So the Bible says that God made him greater than before. God's desire, hear me tonight, is to restore people. God wants to make things better than they've ever been. That's why he always leaves a stump. He always makes sure there's something in your life that you can give to him that God can cause it to grow back. Now, here's new territory. Here's where we're going tonight. We all knew that, got this morning. If you weren't here, get the podcast. It's worth listening to. But here's where we're going. Job 14, verses 7 through 9. We talked about Job this morning. Remember, Job lost everything, but he still had something left. What did he have? He had his faith. He had his trust. And he says, I know my Redeemer lives. In the book of Job, we find a very unique passage that talks about a tree. Notice what it says here, Job 14, 7 through 9. But there is hope for a tree if it is cut down. It will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Although its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump begins to die in the soil. Hello, stump. We'll read that again. And its stump begins to die in the soil. Notice this. At the scent of water, it'll flourish and put forth shoots like a new plant. I like the Message translation. It says, at the first whiff of water, it'll grow again. So in the book of Job, where he lost it all and God restored him double, isn't it interesting that he talks about a dead stump? And he says, you can have a dead stump in the ground. You can have a mess in your life, but at the whiff of water, at the scent of water, listen, it can grow. Come on, that's some good news for some people tonight. It can grow again. Now, the reason why I'm happy is because when the Bible talks about water, we understand that water symbolizes God's word. So what God is saying, you want your stump to grow again? Get the word on it. Come on, at the whiff of a verse. Come on, at the whiff of a message, your mess, God is saying at the scent of water, or at the scent of the word, the stump will represents your mess. If I ever begin to get the word of God in my mess, just a whiff of the word, the stump will start growing. Come on, does anybody need your mess to? Well, we also remember that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So it's not just water, it's not just Word, it's Jesus. If we ever get Jesus into our mess, if we ever get Jesus into the stump, it's just a whiff. Come on, it don't take much. That's what we're here tonight. Some of you are going to get a whiff of truth. Some of you are going to get Jesus in that mess, and it's going to change everything. It's going to start growing. It's going to start growing again. And this is exactly, here's the practical teaching now. This is exactly what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He's been reduced to a stump. He's lost his kingdom. He's like a madman out there, and he's insane, and he's eating grass like a cow. But he gets a scent of water. He gets God's word. He gets God's truth, and he begins to do something over his ugly stump, over his ugly mess in his life. He does three specific things I'm going to show you tonight that he did that brought about this restoration. And it's like this morning we just talked about that God is a God of what is left. And if you'll let him, he'll grow that stump into a big, beautiful, successful, flourishing, prospering tree again. But I want you to know you have your part. And Nebuchadnezzar shows us his part. There were three things that he did. They're truth, they're principles, they're the word that he did that caused his stump to grow again. Are you ready for them? You're taking notes. Let's do this. Number one, praise and exalt God. Let me read the verse. Let me show you all three of them. Daniel 4:37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praised and exalt and glorified the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. Now this is right after we have just read that God made his life greater than it's ever been. And then he tells us exactly what he did to cause his stump to grow again. Notice again, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praised and exalted and glorified the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. When will your stump grow again? Here it is. Number one, praise and exalt. When you begin to praise and exalt God. Come on, you want to get out of your mess tonight? You, the water, the truth, is to begin to praise and exalt God. Notice he says here, he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praised and exalt and glorified the King of heaven. He began to put water on his stump by praising and exalting God. If your life looks like that, and we talked much about that this morning, it's the reason why I don't want to keep going, but if your life looks like that, I'm here to tell you, you need to put some water on it. Come on, anybody got a mess? You need to put some praise. Come on, you need to begin to exalt your God. And when you begin to do that, it's going to cause your stump to grow again. Why in the world do we need to exalt God? Because he's worthy. Come on, somebody say he's worthy. Listen, it's not just a Sunday thing or an hour thing that we do at church, but it needs to be a daily thing. We need to be praising and exalting God 24/7. Come on, if you want to get out of your mess, if you want your stump to grow, come on, you got to get some water on it. We exalt so many other things. We praise so many other things. Our famous idols, our relationships, our hobbies, our leisures, our technology. Boy, we praise and worship so many of our jobs. We're so good at exalting and praising so many other things. Tens of thousands of people filled football stadiums today. In fact, some of them are still there. Tens of thousands have been glued to their TVs today, cheering for their favorite team, lifting their hands, giving high fives to one another when their team scores the touchdown. I mean, they'll be going bananas, acting like fools, screaming and shouting like idiots. Right? Right? Beer bellies painted with their team logos on them. Right? Wearing their team jerseys with pride and sporting their team colors. And they call them fans. Hello, somebody. But we come and do that in the church. You know what they call us? Fanatics. Something's wrong with that picture, right? The book of Psalms tells us to do, listen, what the book of Psalms tells us to do is happening more, I believe, at a football game than in most worship services. Why would we praise a team that doesn't even know our name, listen, and keep silent for a God that died for us? Come on, you want to get out of your mess? You got to put some water on it. You got to start praising. You got to start exalting God. The Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name forever. I'm going to say it again. What you see at football games looks like more of the book of Psalms than what we see in church. Because we're so afraid. Oh, we can be fans out there, but we do it in here. We get crazy about Jesus, and they call us fanatics. Yet the Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on, somebody needs to take a praise break. Somebody needs to shout. Somebody needs to exalt. Somebody needs to put some water on their stump. The psalmist says, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. You know, if God's word told us to scratch our nose and lift our right leg, we ought to do it. Why? Because he said to do it. Come on, if God said to do it, his Bible, we should do it. Come on, you want your stump to grow? You want your life better and greater than it's ever been? This is exactly what King Nebuchadnezzar began to do. He began to glorify. He began to praise. He began to exalt his God. And he put water on his stump, and his stump began to grow. Come on, how are you going to get out of that mess? You're going to have to start praising God. Some of you are so fixated on your mess. You talk about your mess 24/7. What you need to do is start worshiping. You need to start exalting the King of heaven and glorifying his name. Come on, somebody shout yes. It's exactly what he did. Some of you need to put some water on your stump. And if you begin to praise God, you begin to exalt God, I'm telling you, your stump will grow again. Here's the second thing. When will your stump grow? Number two, when you begin to acknowledge that God's ways are right. The first thing he does is he exalts God. He praises God. The second thing that he does, it says there in Daniel 4:37, everything that God does is right, and all his ways are just. It took him 7 years to figure this out. Come on, don't wait another day. God's ways are right. I like that. Again, Nebuchadnezzar is putting some water on his stump. He's acknowledging that God's ways are right. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar's problem, his issue was, is he refused to acknowledge God. He thought he actually knew more than God. Can I help you tonight? You're not as smart as God. You really aren't, right? Remember, he took credit for his strength and his success. He was self-sufficient instead of God-dependent. And ultimately, this is what caused his life to get in a mess. He was reduced to a stump. Because he would not acknowledge God. In fact, notice what Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar here in Daniel 4:26 when he talks about the stump, when he explains to Nebuchadnezzar what the stump is. The part about the tree stump and roots being left means, this is Daniel interpreting the dream, means that your kingdom will still be there for you after you learn that it is heaven that runs things. Come on, just look to your neighbor and say, it's not you. Come on, say, it's not you. Come on, heaven runs things. Somebody shout, heaven runs things. And he came to that understanding, and he says you're going to remain like a stump for as long as you want to. As long as you think you run things, this is going to be your life. But the moment you acknowledge that heaven runs things, guess what? You're going to put some water on the stump, and your stump is going to start growing. Hallelujah. Well, we know he eventually learns the lesson. Let's read it, Daniel 4, 1 through 3. This is what he eventually tells his whole kingdom. I love it. King Nebuchadnezzar, to everyone everywhere, every race, color, and creed, peace and prosperity to all. It is my privilege. This is after 7 years of being like that. He's going to acknowledge God. He's going to put some water on his stump. Notice what he says. It is my privilege to report to you the gracious miracles that the high God has done for me. His wonderful acts are great, and his miracles are mighty. His kingdom goes on forever. And listen, and his rule continues from now on. I'm tired of my mess. I'm tired of my stump. And from here on out, heaven rules. God rules. Rules. Come on, somebody shout, heaven rules. Can you see he's acknowledging God? He's acknowledging that God's ways are right. He's putting water on his stump. How do I get out of my mess? How do I get out of this situation? You got to put water on it. You got to put the word on it. You got to get Jesus into your mess. How do I do that, preacher? Open your mouth. And instead of exalting your favorite football team, and I'm for football, are the Niners still in it? I'm for all the fun and the leisure. I love taking vacations, but there's only one number one, and his name is Jesus. And we need to understand where our worship and our praise belongs. And if our stuff is going to grow again and our life is going to be better than it's ever been in this year, then we've got to learn to exalt and praise our God. Number two, what do we got to do? We got to acknowledge that we're not the boss, that God's smarter than us, that God knows more than we know, and that heaven rules our life, right? By and large, we live in a society that has rejected God and rejected his word. That's what sin is all about. You know what a great definition of sin is? Sin is my way, not God's way. Sin is just simply my way. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what God's word says. I don't care if God said to tithe. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care if God says to give. I don't care if God said to forgive. I don't care if God said go to church. I don't care. I'm going to just do it. That's what sin is all about, and that's what gets us in trouble. But if we want our stump to grow, we're going to have to acknowledge that God is right. And instead of trying to modify his word and change his word and edit his word to fit our ungodly lifestyle, oh, I'm preaching tough now, right? We need to just acknowledge God, say, God, your ways are right. You're my final authority. Did you know God does not ask you to understand his word? He just asks you to do it. He just asked you to obey it. You'll never understand why giving 10% of your income is going to cause you to be blessed. I've never figured that one out, but I do it, and my life is blessed, right? I don't understand how forgiving you when you've treated me wrong and mistreated, how it's going to bring blessing, but I do it. Why? Because God says to do it, right? I don't understand that the Bible says that I need to love my wife like Christ loves the church. I don't understand how that's going to bless my life, but I just do it, and guess what? It just blesses my life. God doesn't ask you to understand the word. He just asks you to do it. Why? Because he's God. Come on, heaven rules. If he says it, let's do it. Some of you need to put some water on your stump. If you begin to acknowledge that God's ways are right, your stump. Did you hear me? If you'll begin to acknowledge God's ways are right. Man, I've had to do that through the years of just growing in the things of God. God, you're right about that. You're right about that, God. You're right about that too, God. Come on, if you'll start acknowledging God, you're right. You're right. You know what it's going to do? It's going to put truth on your stump. It's going to put Jesus in your mess. And your tree is going to start growing. Start growing again. Here's the third one. Are you ready? And worship team, you can come back. When will your stump grow again? Number three, when you begin to walk in humility. Number one, if you want your stump to grow again, you need to begin to exalt and worship and praise the Almighty God. Not a church thing, but a daily thing. Come on, that's your part. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar began to do. If you want your stump to grow again, if you want God to take what's left of your life and make something great out of it, then you're going to need to understand that God is number one. He's the boss. God rules your life. Heaven rules. Whatever God says, I'm not there to challenge it. I'm not there to edit it. I'm there to obey it. I'm just there to do it. And if you'll do that and have that attitude, I know in our lives, we have a big saying in our lives, God's word is our final authority. If we don't like it, it don't matter. We're just going to do it. And I'm so thankful for all these years that we've been married. If God's word says it, we're just going to do it. We've just made up our mind. We're just going. Heaven rules our life. You know what that does? Any mess you get into, it's just going to put water in the mess. It's going to put truth in the mess. It's going to put Jesus in the mess. And the tree will begin to grow again. Number three, it's a huge one. Begin to walk in humility. This is exactly what King Nebuchadnezzar did. He began to put some water in a stump by walking in humility. Now listen, humility isn't putting yourself down. Humility is not seeing yourself like a worm. I like this. It's been said that humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Did you hear that? I'm going to say that again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. You see, a humble person knows that life is not all about me. It's just not about me. We have two dogs that they're inside dogs, and we like our dogs. They mind better than our kids. But what's amazing is that when I get up in the morning, for some reason, my dogs think that I got up for them. Some of you dog lovers, you know what I'm talking about. I get up, and the first thing that my dogs want is they want their cookie. They think I got up to go get them a cookie. It's like, get me a cookie. I want my cookie now. And then they want to go out and go to the bathroom. And so they go to the door and they say, well, you got up to take me to the bathroom. Didn't you get up for me? And I think sometimes we have an attitude that we think other people and God has gotten up for us. We think the whole world evolves around us. That it's all about me. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. Come on. Just put some humility on your stump. Put humility in your mouth. God, I'm just not that smart. It doesn't evolve. You know what humility actually means? It means that you actually are a doer of the word. So I not only acknowledge the word, but now I actually do the word. I resist the evil one. I submit unto God. It's the obedience unto God. And then God begins to exalt my life. He begins to take me from a mess, from a stump, and begins to exalt and make my life better. Put some water on your stump. How? By humbling yourself. What's interesting about humility is it's your choice. It'll either be humility or eventually humiliation. If you don't humble yourself, the promise is humiliation's coming your way. I wanted to scoot through that really quick because I wanted you to catch it. I love this story because there's just the promise that regardless how bad it's gotten, there's always something left that God has tied up that says, I'm going to use it in their life to restore them back to even a better, greater life. But when King Nebuchadnezzar began to do those three things, God untied his stump and caused his tree to grow again. And the word was that his life was even greater than it was before. So God did his part because King Nebuchadnezzar did his part. God's word says you can remain like that the rest of your life until you're ready to acknowledge me. Church, you want your stump to grow again? You want 2018 to be a great year? How do I deal with the mess in my life? How do I deal with the pain in my life? How do I deal with the situations in my life? Get out of doubt and unbelief and begin to exalt God and begin to worship God. Begin to say, God, your ways are right. I acknowledge your ways. And God, I walk in humility. The world does not evolve around me. And God, I'm going to think less of myself and I'm going to pour my life into helping other people. Some of us, we're just so caught up in ourselves that we're missing the fact that healing could come to our life as we give ourselves to other people. I want to end with this story. I've shared this before here, but it just fits so perfect, and I think it paints the picture of what we can really take home, the conclusion of the matter, finding the favor of God in our mess. God's people has just come out of slavery, 400 years of slavery, and they've just crossed the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's armies have changed their minds, and here they come, and we know the miracle there, that how God defeated their enemies right there in the Red Sea. And a lot of us don't know what happens after the Red Sea. We don't read on, but the Bible says that some 2 million people, after seeing their enemies destroyed, go 3 days into the wilderness, and the Bible says they had no water. They are in a desperate situation. You go 3 days without water, you're on the verge of dying. They're in the wilderness. And in the distance, they can see a pool of water, and no doubt they're thinking, wow, God's answered our prayers. Here's water. And they rush to the pool of water only to find out that it's bitter, that it's poisonous. It was called the pool of Marah. It was the waters of Marah, and it's a poisonous place. It's a pool of poisonous water. Nothing affects your life more than to think it's over, but then it only gets worse. Can you imagine that? They think, we're going to get water. It's our problems are over. The mess is over. And they get to the water, and it gets worse. They can't even drink the water. It's poisonous. So some 2 million people do what people do. They start griping. They start complaining. They get on Twitter and they get on Facebook and they spew their hate. But not Moses, not Pastor Moses. He had enough sense. He went Godward. Remember this morning we talked about the ashes. What do you do with the ash pile of your life? You just throw it up Godward. While 2 million people are complaining and griping over their mess, over their situation, over their bitter waters, we're going to die. Surely now we're going to die. We have no water. It'd been better to stay in Egypt. We've got a mess here. And Moses is looking to God, and he's praying, and he's asking God for help. God, help. And the Bible says at that moment that God opened Moses' eyes. He sees the pool of bitter water. He sees the mess. He sees the poisonous water. He sees the stump. But God opened his eyes to see a tree that was growing right by the pool of poisonous water. And God tells Moses to take the tree, to take that tree and to put it in that pool of water, to put it in the mess, to put it in the stump, to put it in the pool of water. And the Bible says the moment he put that tree in the water, the water became drinkable. It became sweet. Why a tree? This was an Old Testament picture of what Jesus would be crucified thousands of years later for the sins of humanity. You see, it was on that tree, it was on that cross that Jesus took the bitter mess of humanity. Hear me tonight. Jesus took our sin. Jesus took our guilt. Jesus took our shame, our torment, our misery, our loss, our abuse, our addictions, our disease, our sickness, our poverty, our mess, our stump, our bitter pool of water. He took it all on that tree. So he says, Moses, take the tree and put it in your mess. Put it in the bitter waters. Now, here's what I know about trees, is trees don't grow overnight. So that means that before they ever got to their mess, God had already planted a tree. Before you ever got to your mess, I'm here to tell you, God already planted a tree. Before you ever encountered the struggle, the trouble, God already planted a tree. It's not time to gripe and complain. It's time to go Godward and find out what he planted. I'm here to tell you, he planted some healing. He planted some forgiveness. He planted some restoration. He planted some deliverance. And if you'll take that tree and put it in your bitter pool, if you'll take that tree and put it in your mess, it'll heal what is messed up. Come on, it'll deliver, it'll restore. You can all stand to your feet, you might as well. Before you ever got there, there was a tree growing. God already planted a tree called forgiveness before you ever got to that sin problem. God planted a tree so you could be forgiven. Come on, before you ever had that brokenness, God planted a tree of restoration. Come on, somebody. My prayer for you is that your eyes would open up. And you wouldn't just see your mess, but you'd see the tree. That you would see that God's already provided a solution. Before you ever got in that mess where that doctor told you you've got cancer, or you got sickness, or you got disease. Some of you are scared spitless because of your symptoms. But I'm here to tell you, God planted a tree of healing. Somebody needs to shout yes. Come on, that's my tree. Come on, that's my tree. Come on, that's my tree. What's the word? Take the tree and put it in your mess. What does a tree represent? The tree represents Jesus. Put Jesus in your mess. Put the water in your mess. Put the truth in your mess. And watch your stump grow again. Come on, get ready. You're getting ready to have a greater life than ever, ever before. I've been waiting to do this all night. Look to your neighbor. It's a little cheesy, but I need you to help me preach tonight. Are you ready to preach? Are you going to help me? If you do this right, I might get you out pretty quick here. Tell them, stick a tree in it. Come on, look to that other neighbor you didn't want to tell. I want you to look at that other neighbor you didn't say any. You ignore. Tell him, stick a tree in it. Hallelujah. Come on, does anybody want praise? Anybody want to exalt? Come on, anybody want to declare that heaven rules tonight? Does anybody want to start walking in humility? Come on, God has planted a tree to fix every issue in your life.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.